folks. We are live. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We're going to be taking your calls, going through a news blitz, and of course covering the second half of Glenn Beck's quote-unquote debunking of the FEMA camps. Now, I guess I was spot on yesterday. It was not a Eurasian FEMA camp they were showing. It was, in fact, a North Korean FEMA camp. And the reason I picked up on the North Korean thing at the very end is because now North Korea is being demonized for this missile testing, and now Iran is supposedly working with us in the war on terror. And although they've demonized Pakistan somewhat, they're also supposedly working with us. So to me, for them to go out there and basically try to, you know, first of all, it's about an 8-minute segment. And they show two examples of what they're debunking for about 30 seconds each. And then the rest is just a rip fest on 9/11 truthers and the conspiracy mindset. We believe what we want to believe. No, Glenn Beck. No, we don't believe what we want to believe. I'm in a place called reality. I'm not fooled by people who have bad smiles and expensive suits attached with lies. All right, that doesn't necessarily make you correct because you're wearing a more expensive suit than I am. If you didn't notice, I'm wearing a hooded sweatshirt. I don't care about your suit. I don't care about your stupid TV show. And then he goes on to say that people have accused him of being the architect of the 9/11 cover-up for the media. Well, he knows damn well what he's doing. Is he the architect? No. He's another talking head that refuses to look at any information outside of his box. He accuses us of not looking at all the information. Bull. Did he go over the civilian labor program? No, he didn't. He didn't mention it. Did he go over Rex 84? No, he didn't. He didn't mention it. Instead, they did exactly what Jones said they were going to do in the second half. They show a training facility for the National Guard. Well, good for you. No kidding. The National Guard trains? Really? In this country? I can't believe it. That doesn't mean there's no FEMA camps. Okay, that doesn't mean there's not plastic coffin liners all over the place. That doesn't mean that they're not setting up mass graves. That doesn't mean that the document that was sent to us from 2007, right here, from the State of New York Cemeteries, actually it's from the State of New York Department of State to the Division of Cemeteries, asking people if they can fit mass casualties. All right? So him and Jim Meggs have like a little girly giggle fest for about, I don't know, it's about 8 minutes long. It's totally and completely disgusting. Everything they say is a lie. They immediately put up the Edge of Insanity man with his bleeding eyes and smoke coming out of his ears. I mean, give me a break. Who is this working on? Third graders? Is it third graders that are falling for this, Glenn? Because it's not me. You can sit there and you can ridicule our movements. You can ridicule our quote-unquote belief systems. You know, one of the things that really made me disgusted was like, James Meggs, it's called reporting. That's what it's called, Glenn. It's called reporting. First of all, Jimmy Meggs didn't go anywhere for this. He sent one film crew to one establishment that they knew was set up to fix trains. They didn't do a crack research. They didn't go to camp after camp after camp and show up unannounced. No. Government propaganda at its fullest form, folks. We're going to come back with that clip, and we're going to analyze it. We're going to take your calls. It's 866-582-9933. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Into this Glenn Beck clip and really just, you know, let the cats know that this guy is not only disingenuous scum, he doesn't even debunk any. If they were really, really going to debunk, it would be 10 minutes of hardcore news on both segments saying this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. Instead, they take some photo, some satellite photo from someone else's website that he took a satellite image of North Korean FEMA camps, and then he marked it Wyoming and put a Homeland Security logo on it. Now, of course, InfoWars has never printed this. They've never put it on their website. We've never advocated that those were real. It's all straw men. It's unbelievable. All right, let's hit the clip. Jaron, we got it? Let's do it.
Well, yesterday we talked about debunking conspiracy theories, or that's what I'd have you believe, including internet myths about FEMA camps. With me again is James Meggs. He is the editor-in-chief, Popular Mechanics, who did an incredible job writing the definitive debunking of the 9/11 conspiracy theories, and he's here. Now, last we left our episode, bring up the picture of, where is this, Wyoming? Bring up the picture of Wyoming that I left with yesterday. There it is. Look at that. It's a FEMA camp. And I asked Jim, yes or no, is that a concentration camp?
And in fact, it is.
Is it, yes or no, sir, run by the government?
Apparently so.
Okay. Are there atrocities that we know of going on right now in that concentration camp?
There's every reason to think so.
Okay. So here's where it all falls apart. Wyoming, huh?
Well, there's one detail that the conspiracy theorists leave out. Those are satellite images of a concentration camp in North Korea.
Ah, can we put side by side, please? There's Wyoming, put side by side. There's the actual picture, right? And here they are side by side.
All right, cut the clip for a second. Hit pause. All right, people. All right, first of all, he's smiling and snickering the entire time. Like it's funny that we put people in camps in this world. Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah, a whole family in North Korea over there. I mean, they are working to the bone, and really, I don't think they're going to survive much longer. That's hilarious. Let's snicker about it, Glenn. And then Glenn puts his little, or I would have you believe. Glenn Beck needs a backhanding, okay? He needs to be slapped silly, and he needs the documents thrown in his grill. Folks, he's not debunking anything. Anybody can take a satellite image from somewhere else, okay, put a new logo on it, and then claim that everybody believes that this Wyoming FEMA camp, which they say FEMA camp, it's a concentration camp in North Korea, and it had a Homeland Security thing on it that someone else put there. It's never been published in any respectable newspaper. It's never been published in a magazine. It's never been published on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, TruthNews.us. We've never supported this. When Alex Jones went through his debunking of the FEMA camps, with this documentation, you will note that there are no fake satellite photographs in this, stack of information. But you know what? Let's show a fake satellite picture, and let's spend 5 minutes on it, and let's snicker about people who believe that these camps exist in the United States. It's disgusting. Continue.
One of them talks about what this concentration camp is, and what is it? Is Koyohaso?
Right, and it's a this is a part of a report done by a human rights group that's focused on human rights violations in North Korea. Somebody went in and pulled these photos off their website, slapped a Department of Homeland Security logo on it, and claimed that these are on American soil.
Okay, show me the pictures of I think this is Camp Grayling. Do we have the picture of the watchtowers? This is pretty spooky. This is where Americans are currently being held, I believe they're saying.
Well, people say all kinds of things, and these pictures have been floating around the internet for more than 10 years.
Okay.
In fact, Camp Grayling is the largest National Guard training facility in the U.S. They train Army, Navy, Marines, and one of the groups they train is military police. And in fact, one of the functions they train them for is handling prisoners of war in a battle zone like Iraq.
Okay.
So that's what that facility is intended for.
All right. So James, here's what I...
Let's stop it for another second. Again, we know that the National Guard needs training facilities. We're aware. We never, in any of these documents, said that Grayling was a FEMA center. Ever. 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 If you're going to tell me that concentration camps don't exist in the United States, where did they put the Japanese in World War II? Where was that? What, was it an imaginary funland under a rainbow with dancing leprechauns? I mean, give me a break. Where was it? I am at a loss. All right, here's an article from December 2006. Bush to preserve World War II internment camps. Oh, look at that. It wasn't a happy fun camp. It wasn't a spa. It was an internment camp where they kept the Japanese. All right. Now, if these places don't exist and they never plan on using them again, why would he sign into law a $38 million grant to preserve these internment camps? Yeah, you know, 38 mil still ain't chump change. I'm pretty sure you give me 38 mil, I might be able to sprout up a few camps. Just me, little old me. I could probably handle it. You give me the 38 mil, I can make some calls. I can make a camp too. They don't even have to make it. They just have to preserve them. All right? And then another thing that we have covered on this program, it's called Reality. Reality. KBR awarded Homeland Security contract worth up to $385 million. And, of course, it's to set up these facilities. So there's 38. There's $385 million. It's almost half a billion dollars publicly since 2006. This is from January 2006. In two cases. Half a billion dollars. Wait, what do you think they're doing with this money? They're not building them? They're not maintaining them? Why else would they have the civilian inmate labor program on record since 2005 declassified? Please tell me. Please, Mr. Oh, wait, that's right. You're not interested in looking into real documents. You're not interested in watching the Iran-Contra hearings where they talk about Rex 84 over 20 years ago. All right, let's keep playing it.
You and I both, I mean, and there's others, if you really try to debunk these things, and I think this is why the mainstream media doesn't do it. First of all, do you believe, because I don't think we should set out in anything to debunk it or to prove it right. We should prove the truth.
Well, it's called reporting. And
oh, I didn't know that.
You know, and somebody makes a claim.
Cut it. It's called report. That guy hasn't reported on anything other than late-night talk shows and crappy movies in his entire career. He was the ex-editor of Entertainment Weekly. Is that a real news organization? Oh, let's get those pictures on the red carpet. Let's make sure that we get a good shot of Lindsay Lohan's ass. That's the kind of thing that he did. He's not a reporter. He didn't even go to any of these camps. He admitted it yesterday. He sent one film crew to one camp that he knew was a place where they fixed trains. Isn't that admirable? And now it's called reporting. Let's go. Keep playing it.
About facts.
Yeah.
You don't make up your mind in advance. You go and you look at the facts. You look at the evidence.
Stop. What's frightening about stop. And pull it back a little bit because he's calling it frightening. You look at the facts. So again, if you're going to look at the facts, look at the documents. Look at the legislation trying to be passed. This is this year, January 27, 2009. This is a couple months old they're trying to pass this. This is more authorization of FEMA camps in the United States. It's H.R. 645. What do you think? They write these things up for their health? They propose them because, you know, they're never going to use them? Give me a break. And it's frightening that these conspiracy theorists just cling onto their beliefs no matter how much shoddy reporting we put out there. We showed three things today. No, three things in 2 days. I'm sorry. We showed you in the past 2 days that one of these facilities is a place for trains to be repaired. And we showed you another satellite photo of a North Korean training camp. And we told you that some of these places are to train the National Guard. And that's it. And now we're just supposed to bite down on a pillow and take it, I guess. Give me a break. All right, let's keep going.
Conspiracy theorists.
We should prove the truth.
Well, it's called reporting.
And oh, I didn't know that.
You know, and somebody makes a claim about facts.
Yeah.
You don't make up your mind in advance. You go and you look at the facts. You look at the evidence. What's frightening about the conspiracy theorists is that they really have already made up their minds in a lot of cases. And so when you come along and say, well, you know, we checked out that claim you're making. Turns out it's not exactly true. They don't say, oh, okay, let me go back. Maybe I should check my facts again.
Stop.
They say,
stop. We don't. You show me some legitimate evidence that the civilian inmate labor program doesn't exist, and I'll listen. I'll listen to all this crap, all right? You have one point? I'll listen. I'm not so stuck to my belief system like these guys would have you believe that I don't listen to other people. I listen to everybody. I look at all the evidence. And it just is. I mean, for instance, Stephen Jones this week puts out a peer-reviewed paper proving that there's unexploded thermite in the World Trade Center dust. He has a 25-page peer-reviewed paper put out there, and I've got to hear debunkers out there saying, oh, it's not in a real journal, and oh, it's already been debunked. They didn't even read the thing. And I've been saying for years that this guy was on the right track. He did the experiments. He listened to the quote-unquote regular version, the media reports. He read the NIST reports along with Kevin Ryan, the Underwriters Laboratories reports. He saw he wasn't even into this until someone brought it to his attention 4 years later. But he must be a conspiracy theorist. The guy is an ex-professor at Brigham Young. A physics professor. My God. We're going to come back with more of the douchebaggery of Glenn Beck and Jimmy Meggs. Finish up there, and then we're going to go right to your calls. The call line's 866-582-9933. You can check out my blog over at theinfowarrior.com. And we're just going to get right back into this Glenn Beck, Jimmy Meggs propaganda piece for the smallest of minds, for little brains out there. Glenn Beck, go ahead.
Clearly, you're part of it.
Right. You and I both have been part of it now. We're part of it. I was actually, somebody called me the grand architect for 9/11. Because I came from nowhere.
Cut it. No one ever said that about you, Beck. No one likes you. Okay? No one's ever accused you of being the grand architect of anything other than being a douchebag. You are a grand architect of that. Having a bad haircut, having a bad style, being disingenuous. Yes, you're an architect of those things. No one said you were the architect of the 9/11 cover-up. You didn't even get into the game until Popular Mechanics was in the game, which means Hearst Publications was actually hired to do this. Jimmy Meggs, you are part of it. You damn well know what you're doing. You are. Your bad comb over, your creepy little smile, your bad glasses. Yeah, you are part of it. And they both are part of a cover-up now. And now Glenn Beck's going to be like, oh, it's all spooky, and I'm just trying to tell people the truth and the real news, and I just keep getting attacked. I'm attacked all the time. I'm Glenn Beck. Keep playing it.
You're for 9/11. Because I came from nowhere, my rise has been in their eyes so meteoric, which I've worked for 30 years in radio, it happened so fast that the only thing that could explain it is that I was the media architect on the cover-up of 9/11.
And you can see how people are searching to make these conspiracies get bigger and bigger. Because the core facts that they've been claiming on the 9/11 conspiracies, which Popular Mechanics, the way a lot of this started is we've investigated these for several years. But every time you knock down a certain fact that someone's claiming, they have to expand the conspiracy. So now you're in it, we're in it. Anybody who believes the mainstream view is somehow tied up. There must be hundreds of thousands of people now keeping this secret. And
stop
yet somehow
it. Hundreds. There's the argument again. Remember, all these people had to be involved in 9/11, and all these people had to be hired for the cover-up. There'd be whistleblowers. That's their big argument. Someone would have come forward. Someone would have said, it was me. I helped with 9/11. I was approached to cover it up. That's not how it works. Give me a break. Hundreds of thousands of people. I have been on record several dozen times saying, at best, 50 people in this world, at best, had any kind of knowledge of the full plot. 50, maybe 50. It could honestly be a dozen. I mean, when you're running top secret drills, and this is now declassified, of planes hitting towers at the same exact time with the CIA through the National Reconnaissance Office, type in Operation Jackal Cave going on that morning. The whole thing is redacted, but one paragraph, and it's another drill. I wonder if Jackal Cave could have had something to do with Islamic terrorists. Doesn't sound similar. What about Amalgam Virgo? What about Apollo Guardian? You know, when I was on with Meggs, I asked him about this. He had no answer. Oh, when we knocked down a conspiracy theory. They didn't knock anything down. They've never knocked anything down. All right, keep playing it.
But it's never leaked.
We've always had conspiracies. I mean, you know, growing up, I remember, oh no, it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald. Oh no, you don't know. Where do these come from? Why are they, because there are so many of them now. As I see it, it's a combination of A, you have access to photos, information, easy to make videos, easy to make things look real.
Everything's easy now.
And there's no filter on the internet, so people can just say and do whatever they want, which is fine with me. But then the other side is, journalism doesn't mean anything to anymore. I mean, the things that have been said and written where it's a blatant lie or it's just part of the truth. So the media and Washington and everything else has so disenfranchised people, they don't believe that anymore. Is that what causes this to get so bad now?
There are a lot.
You know what causes it, Glenn? All the mainstream media articles refuting the official version. How about the hundreds of videos of people talking about secondary explosions in the building, in the lobby, in the basement, before the plane hit? How about Willie Rodriguez and his testimony, me going down and actually talking to him? How about me talking to April Gallup, who came through the hole in the Pentagon? No, but I'm not a reporter. I only went, tracked these people down, and filmed their accounts. You know, there's only, again, hundreds of mainstream media videos talking about secondary explosions. We now have unexploded thermite in the dust, proven, peer reviewed. But no, I'm a nutcase. I'm Johnny Nonsense. Give me a break. All right, we're going to finish up with the Glenn Beck, and then I promise you, we'll be taking your calls. It's the Info Warrior, PrisonPlanet.tv. You know, I don't do this because this stuff isn't real, okay? I don't do this because I like to do it. You know, I do like to do it now because I realize what dire straits we're in, how crazy this world really is, how it truly operates after you read their own documents, watch their own presentations, listen to their own speeches, pay attention to the policy papers they're setting out. I don't take pleasure in the fact that people are going to buy this crap. And all of a sudden, no, you talk about FEMA camps. You're a liar. You're a conspiracy kook. Well, we'll see what happens on the 15th, Beck. We will, because I'll be in San Antonio. I can promise you that. All right, let's finish up with Beck.
A lot of elements to this, and this goes back to the 19th century, suspicion about different groups and plots and conspiracies of all sorts. It's a deep part of our culture. But today what you're saying is the internet makes it a lot easier, and people are skeptical, and that's not a bad thing. It's actually healthy to ask questions. It's healthy to be skeptical, but then you've got to pay attention to the facts.
Right. The problem is you're not being skeptical, because I think that is exactly... Thomas Jefferson said, question with boldness even the very existence of God, for if there be a God, he must surely rather honest questioning over blindfolded fear. That has guided my life for the last 15 years. And the thing is not just question with boldness.
Stop. Just stop it. No, Glenn Beck, what guided your life for the past 15 years was a bunch of blow and cheap liquor. Let's be honest. You cry about it all the time on your radio show and your TV show. It wasn't that, okay? It was the blow. Be honest. All right, hit play.
Honest questioning. You're not trying to prove an agenda. You don't care. Your agenda is the truth. And conspiracy theorists don't seem to care either.
Well, what you see is there's a huge difference between skepticism and cynicism. And a lot of people say they're being skeptical are really just deeply, deeply cynical. Skepticism means asking questions, listening to the answers, approaching the facts with good faith. And when you find a fact that doesn't support your worldview, maybe you've got to change your worldview. Conspiracy theorists tend to come in with a worldview that's fixed. Okay. And then when they find facts that don't work, they just ignore those facts.
Okay. Jim, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. All right, let's pull it. I think I've ripped it apart enough. We're just going to go to your phone calls, folks. I mean, it is revolting. I barely ate today. Just had a coffee. My stomach feels a little sick right now. I'm a little queasy. after listening to that garbage? Let's go to your first phone call. Let's go to Darren in Indiana. You're on the air.
This is Leo.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Darren did drop. Leo, you're up.
Hi. Yeah, I was thinking about this whole thing going on with the libel going on against Alex. And
thanks for the call, sir. You know, I can't be talking about that stuff, man. I'm sorry. I mean, listen, this is a show about the news. It's not about Alex Jones. All right, that's the bottom line. As far as libel goes, I mean, I can't talk about that stuff. It's in a courtroom or in lawyers' hands for a reason. It's not my business to talk. All right, let's go to Zach in New York. Zach, you're up. Zach.
Dylan.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm eating now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I took so long. But what can I do? Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I think listening to Glenn Beck's sound bites is sort of like picking through my cat's litter box.
I think it is similar, my friend.
I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm calling because it's a very serious thing, because I'm uncomfortable calling.
Mm-hmm.
Only because this person I work with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with 9 years, never discussed anything.
Mm-hmm.
But through another coworker, not this particular person,
mm-hmm.
I brought up the, I don't remember the bill, but the banning organic farming.
Yep. The ubiquitous something or other act.
Right.
Yep.
So we got into this discussion, which has been going on for weeks and weeks. This person is claiming that people that she knows, and she's very uncomfortable talking about it, is talking about the shootings, and says that people, you know, this person that she knows is telling her that there's going to be a lot of shootings, and then it's going to culminate with a school shooting with a your basic hunting rifle type of thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very possible. I mean, you know, for instance, a couple weeks ago, we played the Albany school drill where the cops literally have paintball guns with a bunch of kids running and screaming through the schools as they shoot them.
Really?
You know, pull up the clip, Jaron. You know how to do it with that little bar. We're going to play it in the next segment, sir. Sir, I got to agree with Alex Jones. It is a big possibility. I don't know if they set up what just happened in Binghamton. I mean, that's very close to home for me.
Right.
I don't think that they set up this kid who just shot these cops in the face.
Who knows?
Who knows? But, you know, is it the timing weird with the Mayak report and all this other stuff? Sure, it's very bizarre. But at the same time, it's like, you look at Columbine. How did they get all those bombs in there?
Oh, man. But this thing, you know, again, when you talk to people that are not into this kind of thing, and I was shocked to hear it today, but they are scared to talk to me even because they're not comfortable enough. But they're saying there's going to be all this activity with shootings and what have you, culminating with this terrible thing. What's going to motivate people to accept this? Well, we have to have a gun ban because of this, because of what they're going to do.
Do we have that clip? Is that it right there, Jaron? Is this the Albany clip right here? No. Yes. Let's play it. Hit it. Hit it right now. I thank you for the call, sir.
Alrighty.
Earthquake drills are
right,
simply
pause
the norm.
We'll go to it
today.
In a minute after it loads. Let's take Mike in California's call, then we'll go back to that video clip. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, Jason, good to hear you. I've been listening to you since about the first week. Like,
oh, cool.
Show.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, out here in California, you know, it's like we talk, you know, me and my friends, we've listened to you. That's how I kind of got turned on you guys and stuff. And we talk to people, and like they go, oh, you're one of those. And it's like, well, wait a second, you know, what do you mean? And most people don't want to look beyond anything, and they don't pay any attention.
When people say that to me, I immediately go, hey, what are the three branches of government? And they look at me with this stargazed, glazed
that?
Over look. Yeah, exactly. They don't know. And then I say to him, all right, so you don't even know what the three branches of government are, but I'm crazy. And then I ask him, hey, what's the CFR? They have no idea what the CFR is. They have no clue.
We've got a college out here where they've got like military guys from the Army and stuff that are here, and they're immersed. It's a real a Farsi. They're teaching Farsi as far as high immersion into Farsi for, you know, the military, I guess. And these guys come into the local bar wearing their military stuff and come around, you know, and But, you know, like you said, they're trying to get people to look as far as, you know, what's going on as far as, you know, mingling with the, you know, people and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're definitely trying to get us used to
that. Kind of wondering, you know. Yeah. And also we had the, you know, I'm out here in San Bernardino, and it's where they had the military out in 29 Palms out there, the Marines doing mm-hmm. the DUI checkpoint and stuff.
Yeah, there's no reason.
That made one of our little local, you know, newspapers, but, you know,
not only is
never
the,
made anything else.
Not only is that breaking the Fourth Amendment if police were there, but for military to be there, that is breaking posse comitatus. It is disgusting. Mike, I thank you for the call. We're going to go to this clip.
Right.
This is the Albany shooting school drill, which is beyond disgusting. Again, very close to home for me. Hit it.
Students, fire drills and earthquake drills are simply the norm. But today, in a sign of the times, students in Albany took part in a school shooting drill that, as you will see, was very intense. Andy Peterson joins us live in the newsroom to tell us about it. Andy?
David, today's active shooter simulation at West Albany High was mostly meant to train law enforcement for a school shooting situation. But student volunteers also got into the act, and for them, it was an eye-opener. This may be only a drill, but it's just about as real as it gets.
Basically, the weaponry is the same weaponry that we carry on duty. However, they use a marking cartridge. It's kind of like a paintball, but it's a gas-driven paint pellet.
Two counties worth of law enforcement and a couple of dozen student volunteers took part in this active shooter drill at West Albany High on Wednesday.
It's kind of scary at first. Like, you can even feel the gun when it goes off, and, like, when it hits, like, the bullets hit, it's just so realistic. It's weird.
There are many unknowns, but one thing is for certain. There's at least one shooter on a rampage.
As law enforcement heads into a situation, the kids who are playing the roles know what they're doing. The bad guys also know what's going on, but these guys don't know what to expect. In that sense, it's the same feeling they'd have if they walked into an active shooter situation.
In this situation, the bullets are replaced with paint, and the good guys always win. But the cops and the kids say they're better prepared for the worst.
I don't think people think about it happening at their school because they're like, oh, that doesn't happen here. But, I mean, it could happen anywhere. It could happen here. So it kind of gives you an experience of what it would be like and how scary it would actually be.
Now, there are about 100
right,
law
pull
enforcement
the clip.
Officials.
I mean, just disgusting, folks. All right, let's go to Jim in New York. Jim, you're on the line.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was watching on the Kudlow Report about the Chinese and Iran. They were sending materials over to build nuclear weapons or to firm up their nuclear program. And apparently some money was being laundered through several banks in the United States. Did you hear about that?
Is that why Biden was meeting with Iranian leaders or something today? I got some email. I skimmed through it. I know that Biden had some weird meeting today. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure, but the Brooklyn DA, apparently they became aware of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brooklyn DA subpoenaed these banks. And he was saying, well, the banks may not have known that the dollars going between this Chinese person and Iran were for this material. You know, they were using aliases.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had previously worked in this industry, and mm-hmm. you're supposed to know the clients. There are steps that are taken, you know, when you're dealing with people who move big amounts of money. You know, relationship managers are assigned to accounts, and there are people who are supposed to actually go out with the clients and, you know, see their operations, see what's going on, you know, what are these guys doing? And, you know, it just seemed odd that the Brooklyn DA would say, oh, the banks didn't know anything about these guys and where the money was going. It just seemed a little odd.
Well, when was the last time a bank was prosecuted for anything? I mean, the big banks just stole $12.8 trillion from us. You know, it's not a shocker to me that there's no prosecution. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. It just seems really, you know, it was like these guys were given a free ride. And I just, you know, from what it sounded like on the you know, on the Kudlow report, they were just subpoenaing the banks just to get the information, and they didn't have any, you know, thing to do with it. That's the way I took it. And, you know, it's just very disappointing. It seems like they probably knew what was going on all along, and, you know, they were going to call this card in when they needed it to, you know, stoke the fires a little bit. That's just, you know what I could perceive.
Yeah, your interpretation of it. I thank you for the call.
My interpretation of it. Yeah, sure.
You got it. Let's jump to James in Arizona. James, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
Good. I had two questions for you. First of all, do you think that this shooting story in which they tried to, you know, associate it with you guys and the FEMA camp debunking supposedly on Glenn Beck maybe is distracting from some other issues like, you know, what happened with the G20?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, the G20 should have been the biggest thing around, and the New World Order comment, and it was for about 24 hours until these Binghamton shootings happened, and then I believe it was the day after or later in the day that these Pittsburgh shootings happened. I don't know if it's there to distract. I just think that I'll tell you one thing. They are definitely trying to portray InfoWars, Prison Planet, and Alex Jones as an anti-Semitic Nazi. I mean, that's why we're in the MIAC report. You know, I had a friend. He blogs in New York City, works for a financial company. And another one of our buddies through college actually watched Loose Change about 3-4 years ago, woke him up. He joined Campaign for Liberty. He's a big Ron Paul supporter. And he told my friend about the MIAC report, but he refused to link to him because he didn't, you know, he's afraid to be in track and trace. So I gave him the report today. I gave him the MIAC report, and I said, look at this thing. And he's reading through it. He's a relatively smart guy. He couldn't see why it was wrong. And I just went through the first page on it, and I tried to explain to him, all right, for starters, the first thing they say is that the anti-New World Order movement or militia movement, which are two totally separate things, you know, they may intertwine, but they're separate things, started in the 80s and 90s. That's bull, all right? Anthony Hilder was putting out albums in the 60s about New World Order, and he wasn't an anti-Semite. He wasn't a white supremacist. He wasn't a Nazi. That guy has been around forever, all right?
Sure.
On top of that, Hitler wrote a book called The New World Order. H.G. Wells wrote a book called The New World Order. So how are they tying the new anti-New World Order movement to the 80s and 90s? First lie. Okay, then they get into Waco. All right, now they don't tell Waco and Ruby Ridge. And they don't tell you that all the guns were legal and that they killed women and children in there. I explained that to him. I said, do you realize that out of the 8 people that survived, no one went to jail? And there's video of them mowing down women and children from a helicopter? And he didn't know that either. And then they bring up Oklahoma City, and I'm like, do you realize that Timothy McVeigh was on a military base over a year, on video, over a year after he supposedly left, that a Ryder truck was found at an Oklahoma City military facility on camera a week before the attack? And then you find out that they were actually running drills down in South America of blowing up Ryder trucks with ammonium nitrate, the U.S. government. I said, that's a total inside job as well. So all of these are based on false premises, and they try to intertwine things like Prison Planet, InfoWars, people who are anti-NWO with Nazis who are going to shoot cops. And he's like, well, I guess I can kind of see that. And I'm like, what do you mean you can kind of see it? I said, the last page, they show bumper stickers that I'm not supposed to have. They say third-party candidates like Ron Paul are supported by militias. I'm like, that is so far from the truth, it is unbelievable. I'm like, Ron Paul got more donations from U.S. military, the actual U.S. military, than any other candidate out there, Republican or Democrat. I explained that to him. I'm like, so the U.S. military is actually for Ron Paul, but they want to demonize everybody who's a Ron Paul supporter as a possible Nazi. You know, so I think that there's just a lot to learn out there. We have a huge job to educate people, and I think that those attacks are really to try to discredit this operation here in Austin, Texas. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, and I agree, and I think what you just outlined in many ways is kind of a the product of psychological conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, our education system, one of the cornerstones right now is a scholar named Skinner,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, you know, if you're familiar with psychology, Skinner's behavioral conditioning box.
Yeah, that's it's the dog and the bell, right?
Well,
hold on, James, I'm going to hold you over. We're going to take your call on the other side. We're going to take more calls. It's 866-582-9933. TheInfoWarrior.com is the website.
Since the beginning. kind has searched for sanctuary from poverty, sickness, and war. Just recently, three young men found it. Welcome to Awesome Town.
Come along with us. Come along to Awesome Town. Come along with us. And wipe away your frown.
Roll call.
Andy.
Akiva.
Yorma.
Andy.
Akiva.
Yorma.
Andy. And Yorma and Akiva.
Come along with us. Come with us to Awesome Town. Give us all your trust.
My name's Akiva, the brains of the group. If you have a problem, I can solve it for you.
Andy here, and I love a good sandwich. So if you have a sandwich, come roll with me.
My name is Yorma, motherfucker, the sensitive one. Break your motherfucking face with the butt of my gun. Rip off your arms and break your legs with them. Spread your cheeks and stick my in them.
Come along with us.
It's the InfoWarrior.
Come with us to Awesome Town. Fun times are a must in Awesome Town!
Oh, my board ops are having fun with me tonight. In fact, you know what? For those that didn't see that, that's the Lonely Island. It's one of the dudes from Saturday Night Live, Andy Samberg. He actually did Hot Rod, and I'm a big fan of stupid comedy. If you haven't seen Hot Rod, two thumbs way up. Oh, you liked it? Paul, I loved that movie. It was my favorite. It was better than Superbot. Do you? And they put out a new album. As the Lonely Island, that crew, Andy Samberg, the kid who's in Hot Rod, and that other guy right there, and I have it, of course, the Lonely Island, and he's actually pretty talented. He's a pretty talented cat, and I use words like Awesome Town, I guess, around the awesome office so much that, you know, they can't help but screw with me on the other side of the board. All right, we're talking to James in Arizona, and he was talking about the Skinner box, and I made the mistake of intertwining Pavlovian theory, but I think that's kind of similar. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's very similar, and my point was simply that we're, in many respects, the product of this thing called behavioral conditioning, conditioned responses. Mm-hmm. And the reason I brought it up is because I recall when I first came across Loose Change several years ago, I rejected it out of hand, simply because I didn't like what it said. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually a very logical person who examines things in the light of evidence. And that made me go back and say, okay, what's wrong with this video? If it's the evidence, let's get down to it. Mm-hmm. And, well, I found that you guys were did a very good service in raising the fact, the issue, that we don't have the truth about 9/11, that it has been covered up.
Absolutely.
Economic crisis, the wars we're engaged in are all... that was the seminal event, that these things have all come from that event. This is the defining event of our lifetime. And so, you know, I just want to applaud you for that. But my question is this, my second question. what are you guys working on as far as new documentaries go? Because, you know, I hear Alex, I heard his show earlier today, and he was discussing the idea of, you know, these smear campaigns that are used, and I just thought it would be a very interesting documentary, I think very good service if you guys could show us the anatomy of a psyop.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. Sure. I'm going into Invisible Empire, because I think that what Loose Change did for 9/11, Invisible Empire can do for the New World Order and that terminology, world government. I'm working on a world government film. Hopefully it'll be under 2 hours. It's going to break down the who believes this stuff, who's putting it out there, who's using the terminology, the what, in other words, what groups are involved, what branches of government, whether it be, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations, the United Nations, or even continuity of government, shadow government program, all that's going to be featured. And then in the third part, what do they want to do to us? What is this plan? They want to chip us, they want to enslave us, they want a new world order, and how are they doing this? Through secret society. So that's my next project. Now, if I'm able to get that one done in a decent amount of time, my next project, and this is way off, this is the first time I'm talking about it on the air, is actually called Mind Controlled. And it's all about the psyops, my friend. So if I can get this New World Order film done, and I can pound through another one, man, Mind Controlled is up next. So I thank you for the call. We're going to go to Dave, Lena, Luke, and more after this. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com.
Tracks deep.
when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. And joining us after this segment will be ex-presidential candidate Michael Bednarik. And he's also really one of the true Info Warriors out there, one of the true people who are supporting the Constitution and Bill of Rights and humanity in general, free humanity, the humanity that we all want to see. So he's coming up after the break. Let's shoot through some more of your calls, and then we'll do two segments with Michael, and then we'll go back to your calls with Michael. If you've got a question for him, get on the line. It's 866-582-9933. All right, let's go to Dave in Minnesota. Dave, you're up.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing? It's
good.
Dave in Michigan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I just want to tell you, I've been listening to you since your first night, and I think you're doing a great job. I've been listening to Alex since sometime in the summer. My brother lives in Austin. He's been talking to Alex since Alex was about 20, 21 years old. Right. About
he's a younger guy than people think. He's only 35.
Yeah, I know. anyway, I think you guys are doing a great job. I got a buddy in Killeen, Texas, and the other day he was looking out his window and his dogs were barking. And he saw a car out at his gate, and he walked out to the gate. He's got a double gate. There's about 100 feet between the two gates. And he stood at the inside gate, and the guy got out of his car. And he said, yeah, I'm with the Census Bureau, and I am GPSing the coordinates of your front gate for when we do the Census Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Yeah, they don't want to be behind Google Earth, sir. I mean, all right, first of all, Google is now essentially another arm of our intelligence apparatus. They've been bought out by the CIA. And a lot of have you seen the street views at Google yet? You know what I'm talking about there?
I know what you're talking about, but I'm legally blind. I don't do the computer anymore.
All right, well, let me tell you something. You get on there, I'm shocked when I see it. I mean, it's not a picture that's going on right now. But it's one that was taken within the week or the month, you know what I mean? So, I mean, you can literally read license plate information on streets. You can go down. It's very three-dimensional. And it doesn't shock me that the Census Bureau is going to GPS coordinates for their satellites. I mean, I think they're piggybacking on Google right now so that they can surveil the entire country under this veil of really the world, because this is Google Earth after all. I mean, it zooms out all the way to the globe. You can go anywhere that they've actually, you know, taken these satellite photographs, and they want to do it through the guise of, oh, Google's here to help. You know, they're putting out an operating system that's a Windows-type system for computers soon through Google. And I think, unfortunately, there's just not going to be any way to get around it. And, yeah, they're going to create their cashless society control grid, and one of the first steps is to surveil every part of the United States, get an address, GPS it, and put it in satellite coordinates. Thank you for the call. Let's take... You got it. Let's take one more call before we go to Bednarik. Lena, you're up. Quick, 30 seconds.
Hey.
Good.
I just wanted to, first of all, thank you, because I love your work.
And oh, thank you.
I was in New York. I'm a New Yorker. I'm in Ohio now, but I was in New York when 9/11 happened. I was there the night before when it was pouring, raining, and I left the village and came uptown. I lived in Harlem. I'm a black woman. I lived in Harlem. And mm-hmm. I saw Red Cross trucks all over the place in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard anybody talk about that.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly what the Red Cross angle would be, Lena, but I gotta let you go. We got Michael Bednarik on the other side. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. I never know how to pronounce these names. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Consequence of all convicts for freedom and for happiness, they toil. And I can't tell.
InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis. We are now joined with a true person for liberty, with a true patriot, somebody who ran for president under the Libertarian Party in 2004 and more recently ran for Congress in 2006. He's, of course, a Ron Paul supporter, Michael Bednarik. How are you, sir?
I'm quite well. Thanks for having me on the air.
Well, thanks for coming on with us. And, you know, especially after today, I really want to get your take on this MIAC report, which I'm sure you've seen, because, you know, I showed it to one of my friends today, and he didn't see the problem with it. He's like, well, they're just warning the police about these militia members, and he didn't get the fact that they were intertwining just outright lies and anti-Semitism with, you know, people who were going to shoot cops so that they would fear us. I mean, they literally, in the back, you know, show you a picture of the Turner Diaries, which is all about shooting cops, and then America Freedom to Fascism. Like, somehow they're connected, and they are anything but connected.
Well, they're trying to psychologically connect the two, obviously to create fear, but what they are doing is basically identifying Ron Paul supporters, Libertarian Party members, Constitution Party members, anybody who speaks frequently about the Constitution, anybody who mentions the Second Amendment as if those are all bad things. They're trying to generate an aura of fear and basically convict people in the court of public opinion before anything actually happens.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct.
The same type of tactic that was happening in Germany before the Holocaust.
I got to agree with you there. Yet, you know, again, they're trying to associate us with Holocaust denial and associate us with, you know, this Nazi movement. They try to say that this quote-unquote anti-New World Order movement is from the 80s, when in fact people have been talking about this for well over, you know, 50 years at this point in a negative manner. I mean, there are people that have put out pro-New World Order books, such as H.G. Wells's The New World Order, and of course Hitler put out a book called The New World Order as well. I mean, It boggles my mind that people will buy into this now, because now, I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, we now have headlines like Barack Obama's New World Order in Time magazine. I mean, when are they going to own up to the fact that not only the New World Order is real, it's here?
Well, it is absolutely here. And if you understand the definitions, I mean, we already live in a communist country. If you look at the Communist Manifesto and the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, the first plank tells you what they are going to do. They're going to abolish private property. And planks 2 through 10 tell you exactly how they're going to do it. The second plank is a heavy progressive income tax. In other words, the more money you make, the higher the percentage the government is going to take from you, and we call that the IRS. Plank 5 is a central bank. We call that the Federal Reserve. Plank 6 is government control of communication and transportation, which is the FAA, NTSB, DMV, you know, et cetera. Government control of schools. I mean, you go down that list, and every one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto is in operation in the United States right now.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And, you know, you just mentioned a rising income tax. I'd like to get your take on this new carbon tax that is being talked about and literally proposed now by Oregon legislators. There's also a program out in Tennessee where they're putting $2 billion aside in carbon credits. And this one's out of Reuters today. The carbon fee proposed by Oregon legislators is yesterday's news. But today out of Reuters is U.S. ready to take carbon mantle. I mean, this is really coming. They really want us to pay a global carbon tax for fictional global warming. I'd like you to speak about that.
Well, it is a fictional global warming. The trend is actually more towards an ice age. I mean, we have all sorts of historic data. What they're doing is they are using fear tactics for people who have very little knowledge of science, you know, even basic chemistry and things, that, you know, oh my gosh, they're generating this fear, we have this global warming, and our solution is to tax people for breathing. Everybody who exhales generates carbon dioxide, and we're going to charge you money on that. It would be the same as charging you a dime, you know, every time, you know, you think of anything negative about the government. Well, how are they going to prove it? I mean, you know, then they can just basically levy that tax on anybody. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson said that if you want to be ignorant and free, you want something that never was and never can be. We have to be smart enough to understand the Constitution and brave enough to defend it.
Well, I agree with you there as well, my friend. And it just seems to me that people want to put the blinders on. I mean, I've been, you know, since I've had this new radio show on Alex Jones's network for the past, I think this is week six, I've really been hitting it hard on this carbon tax because I've seen all the mainline articles. All you have to do is go to any of these news wires, any of these mainline MSNBCs, Fox News, and you go down to the environment section, and there's always stories on this carbon tax or CO2 emissions, and they always try to spin it and say, oh, this is to regulate big business, and we have to make everything greener. In fact, another story today that I haven't covered yet is that the Empire State Building is going to go green. This is the new buzzword that they're trying to use. They're trying to hijack, you know, names like Nader, who is a relatively good guy. He's not the best guy out there, but I believe Nader thinks he's doing the right thing. A guy who ran on the Green Party ticket a couple times. And they're trying to usurp that terminology into saying everything needs to go green, we need a carbon tax, and we need to bring down these big businesses that keep polluting the earth. In reality, these people are going to pollute even more.
And well, we are in an ideological war. It is a war of ideas. And the opposition has a tactic where they change definitions. They come up with false alternatives like community rights. They say that, you know, as if you should do a group hug. Community rights. Well, there is no such thing as community rights. The only type of rights that exist are individual rights. But if they can trick you into believing that community rights are superior, then they can get you to voluntarily waive your individual rights in favor of their ideas. They've lied to you, you've believed it, and you've helped them win.
Yes, and a lot of people don't understand that, you know, when they say this is for the greater good, this essentially means for them that we're going to take what we want from you. You have no right to property. You have no right to the pursuit of happiness, really. I mean, really, the opening words in the Constitution mean nothing to these people. They want to eviscerate the Constitution and Bill of Rights even further. They announced at the G20, and by they, I mean Gordon Brown, who's the poster boy for this quote-unquote New World Order, a member of the World Sustainable Society, which is calling for population sustainability, which is reduction. I mean, the guy under him last week said that London needs to go down to 30 million people. There's 60 million people there now. How are they going to bring it down to 30 million in the next 20 years if they don't plan on killing a bunch of us?
Well, that's exactly right. They come up, I mean, murder and genocide are such terrible words. So we're going to come up with euphemisms like, you know, population sustainability. And if you don't understand what they're talking about, as we do that in business, you know, we don't come in and say, you know, well, Jason, I'm sorry, you're fired. We just come in and say, well, Jason, you've been downsized. Mm-hmm. You know, we are cutting corners and you've been downsized, as if that makes, you know, being without a job that much easier for you. It's a euphemism. They're lying to us. And again, if we aren't smart enough to understand the definitions, then we're basically giving up the ball game and letting them win.
And in a lot of respects, we really have. I mean, right now, mortgage foreclosures are at an all-time high. You know, people are losing their jobs right and left. We've already had a society in the last 10 years that you really couldn't make a living unless both parties worked, the mother and the father, you know. And now they're losing their homes. And now they don't have places to live. They don't have jobs. And all of a sudden, this Give Act comes in. It gets passed. And I don't know how much you read of the Give Act, but, you know, other than the mandatory service and the compulsory service, they're making 9/11 a national day and a call to service where they're literally going to have memorials all around the country where people are going to be knocking on doors asking for other people to pledge their support to this program. And, you know, also in the legislation, they say, well, we're going to offer people full-time gigs as volunteers. Now, if you're offering somebody a full-time gig as a volunteer, obviously they're going to get paid. This seems to me this Give Act is really going to be the new government job and even a push further into socialism where literally the government is just going to expand its bureaucracies and take the helm when people are like, feed me, you know, clothe me, I need a new job, and people are going to take these jobs.
Well, they are, and again, it's because of ignorance. They don't understand the basic fundamentals behind it. The 13th Amendment prohibits slavery or involuntary servitude. And when they come up with expressions like mandatory volunteers, I mean, that's an oxymoron. It's like, you know, round square. And people just, you know, hear that and they go, well, the government's got a new program. It's like, if they are forcing you to work without money, that's, well, pretty much slavery in my book.
Yeah, and it's targeted at the young people. It's targeted at people in middle school and high school. And now when you get out of high school, you're not going to have a choice. You're either going to have to go to college and still do volunteerism, or you're going to have to go to a trade school. I mean, Barack Obama had the nerve to get up in front of the American people in his fake State of the Union address and say the reason that this country is sliding down is because of the high school dropouts. And it will no longer be an option to drop out of high school. How un-American is that? It's unbelievable. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior, Michael Bednarik, on the other side. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Michael Bednarik. And Michael, where can people get your information?
I have a website, constitutionpreservation.org, and I offer a book called Good to Be King, based on the silly idea that we have 300 million kings and queens in this United States. We are the source of all political power in the United States, and it is our job to defend the Constitution.
You know, in the last segment, we really spent a lot of time talking about the problems that we're facing right now. Let's focus on solutions. What can people do tomorrow? What can people do this evening to start to combat this stuff?
Well, the first thing they can do this evening is to literally sit down and memorize the Bill of Rights. I mean, it's not possible to defend your rights if you don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing they can do is start to learn that the Constitution puts limitations on government power. When I give preservations, I'll ask you know people to raise their hand if the Constitution applies to them, and they all proudly raise their hand. They say, "Well, you know, unless you are a member of Congress, unless you're living in the White House, unless you're going to work with black pajamas on, unless you've actually taken an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution, doesn't apply to you." You know, when mom and dad write a list of family rules, they say you have to do your homework, you have to eat your vegetables, you have to be in bed by 9 o'clock. Those rules do not apply to mom and dad. Mom and dad are not going to be in bed by 9 o'clock. You know, the children are. Mom and dad wrote the rules. We, the people, ordain and establish the Constitution. We wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights telling government what it is allowed to do. We, the people, have individual rights. Government only has privileges, which means that we can take those privileges away from the government anytime we're brave enough to do so.
But how can we reach out to people and really let them know that, you know, we used to have a system of checks and balances? That's what the three branches of government, you know, were established for, so that they checked each other and there were balances. And if someone did something wrong, you know, the executive couldn't get out of control, neither could the legislative, neither could the judicial arm. But most people can't even tell you what the three branches of government are anymore.
That's true. Most people think that we live in a democracy, and that's due to the fact that every president since at least Woodrow Wilson has gotten in front of a microphone, and they stand up in front of an audience, and they say, we want to make the world safe for democracy. Well, if we want to make the world safe for democracy, it must be a good thing. However, the Founding Fathers loathed democracy. They hated it and called it a tyranny of the majority. That's because in a democracy, the majority wins and the minority loses. In a democracy, you can vote on anything. We can vote on your freedom of speech. We can vote on whether or not you're allowed to have property. We live in a constitutional republic. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands. And the primary difference is that in a republic, there are certain things you're not allowed to vote on. You're not allowed to vote on my freedom of speech. You're not allowed to vote on my freedom of religion. And, well, you can certainly vote on my right to keep and bear arms. You can have a unanimous vote that Michael is crazy and dangerous and you're going to take my guns. But then you're going to have another vote to see which one of you is crazy enough to come and get them.
Well, you know, it's just, it amazes me that people don't understand the difference between a constitutional republic and a democracy, and that we do have, by the Constitution, certain unalienable rights. We have certain rights we are born with, and I feel like any, you know, free humanity, whether they're in the United States or not, should have these rights. We should all have the right to freedom of speech. We should all have the right to, you know, keep and bear arms. And it's not to defend against some person that's going to rob you. It's to defend against a tyrannical government. That's why they put it into place. We're going to be back after this with Michael Bednarik, and we're going to take your phone calls as well. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. There's a new headline over at CNN.com about the VA maybe infecting thousands of people with HIV and hepatitis C. We covered something similar about a week and a half ago, and we're going to go into that in the third hour. Basically, they admitted to, I think, about two or three dozen people they had infected with hepatitis C, but now it looks like it's in the thousands. Right now, we're with Michael Bednarik, former presidential candidate in 2004, former congressional candidate here in Texas in 2006. What's next, Michael? Are you going to continue to try to run for office? I know that you speak around the country. I mean, what are you up to?
Well, I would be happy to run for office if I thought there was a legitimate chance of running a political campaign when they have electronic voting machines that can affix the results. Would be a waste of my time and any of the money my supporters might contribute. Mm-hmm. If we can establish paper ballots, and you know, it doesn't have to be a fair fight, but I have to have an opportunity to win before I'll throw my hat in the ring.
You know, what a novel right idea. Now. You know, a novel idea. Paper ballots that we can check. You know, a hard copy of your vote. I voted this year, actually, for the president for the first time in my life, and I literally walked into a booth. Okay, I picked my candidate. I voted for, you know, Cynthia McKinney because I felt like, you know, she was, you know, the best candidate out there. A lot of people argued with me, said I should have gone for Barr or Baldwin. None of them were going to win. I was really doing it kind of as a symbolic thing. But I didn't get a receipt. I pulled the lever, the thing opens up, and the lady gave me a I voted sticker. Like, I should be proud that I mean, it is just such propaganda. I don't know if my vote counted or not, and it's sickening to me.
Well, I do know if my vote counted or not, and it didn't. You know, it's ridiculous to even pretend. The charade, I mean, it's so blatant that you know, we should be embarrassed that we have allowed things to get this far. But the people are waking up. The $1 trillion bailout last year, the double $1 trillion stimulus package they're talking about now, and the triple $1 trillion budget for next year, it's absolutely insane. Most people have no idea how large those numbers are. Everybody is familiar with an inch. You put 12 of those together, you get a foot. Mm-hmm. A million inches is 15.7 miles. A billion is 1,000 million. So naturally, a billion is 15,700 miles, which is a little more than halfway around the world. A trillion inches is 633 laps around the equator.
It's unbelievable.
That's a lot of inches. And when they start talking about this stimulus package, I mean, it's like in business they call it a poison pill, but this poison pill is the size of a basketball. It'll kill you just trying to swallow it. And our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren will be held in slavery, you know, just trying to pay off this fraudulent debt. So people need to understand science and understand math to know exactly what their government is doing to them. But I am currently participating in Continental Congress 2009, and the website for that is wethepeoplecongress.org. Basically, the strategy is the same that the founding fathers used back before the Declaration of Independence. In approximately 1774, they were concerned about the king. They got people together, and eventually in, you know, one of their meetings, they wrote and signed the Declaration of Independence. And so what we're planning to do is the same thing. We're concerned about government. It's completely out of control. Most of the people in Congress are guilty of treason. And so we are going to we are in the process of selecting three delegates from each state. 150 people will presumably get together to ask, you know, do we have a problem with government? Well, that answer is yes. That's why we got 150 people together. The second question will be, what do we do about it? And so I'm hoping to work here in Texas to help select the three delegates. And if this Continental Congress is able to convene starting Independence Day weekend as currently planned, we will, you know, perhaps have some answers before the end of the summer.
Well, sounds good to me. All right, let's take some callers. Let's jump to Dan in Florida. Dan, you're on the air.
You said Dan, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing today?
Good.
Just a couple quick things. I know this is it's not precisely on topic with what you guys are talking about, but it's kind of a big deal. Yeah, I just noticed a few things. There was many people, you know, a long time ago that kind of suggested that these elite people and things like that could try to manipulate a war, like a third world war, with the United States into a war with either China or Russia or both. Have you guys heard about that?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, David Icke said that and things like that. And I think actually Alex Jones said something about that a while back, too, but I could be
Tarpley
wrong.
Recently, you know, has put that out as the main threat as well.
Yeah, there were some people that were saying that back in, like, 1996, 97, though.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much here it is here. I'm not going to go over all the details right now because I actually just typed a letter to you on your MySpace, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have all the details in there right now, and it outlines pretty much what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you want to take a look at that and maybe cover it on the air either today or tomorrow.
I'll definitely try to cover it on the air tomorrow. What's your take on that? If we are headed into another world war, Michael, will it be with Russia or China? Is that who they're prepping for this World War III enemy?
Well, I haven't checked my email from the Council on Foreign Relations this morning because they send me inside information on everything they're planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm being facetious, of course. Russia and China are certainly plausible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 years ago when I came to Texas from California, I was warning people that the economy was going to crash and that they should take all their money out of the stock market and invest in silver and gold. And people treated me like I was, you know, wearing an aluminum foil hat.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, people can't get gold and silver fast enough. Another one of the precious metals is very, very difficult to get, and that's lead. I went to the local Walmart looking for ammunition, and the woman said that they get a supply, you know, every 3 or 4 days, but they don't put it on the shelf. They put it on a cart, and it disappears within 2 hours. So, you know, ever since the presidential election, gun sales have tripled. Ammunition is incredibly difficult to find. And it's not because people are suddenly interested in hunting. You know, they are beginning to be aware that the economy is going to crash, food is going to become scarce. You know, people are going to start roaming, you know, the neighborhoods looking for, you know, somebody's last jar of peanut butter. There's going to be what they casually refer to as civil unrest, which is a euphemism for rioting in the streets. And then the military will be sent in, and we'll have SWAT teams trying to break up the rioting. And, you know, it's going to be dangerous just to get in your car and you know, try to go to the store.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, anything else, Dan? Go ahead.
Yeah, just real quick, man. I just want to mention this real quick about the whole China thing. And I agree with you what you just said there, man. But here's the deal. Right here on, looks like it's Reuters, and this is from today. It basically says, and it's talking about the UN here, it says the Security Council held a three-hour emergency meeting on Sunday but took no action apart from agreeing to return to the issue. Russia and China, with the support of three other council members, made clear that they opposed U.S. and Japanese demands for a resolution of punishing North Korea. And that's one. There's actually a second one where pretty much there was one of the representatives of China where he basically said that they could actually try to block any sort of sanctions against North Korea or punishments by whoever, pretty much.
Well, North Korea definitely seems to be the hot-button issue. I mean, they were one of the original nations that are in the axes of evil, and they're really one of the nations that they continue to pump this rhetoric against. I'm no fan of Kim Jong-il. I'm no fan of North Korea. I mean, watching that Glenn Beck thing today and them showing, you know, a picture of a concentration camp in North Korea that was falsely labeled, you know, one in Wyoming in order to debunk the FEMA camps was utterly disgusting because they are showing a real atrocity but then trying to equate it with craziness. I thank you for the call, Dan. Have you seen any of these? I know that Jones did a thing on it today, and yesterday Glenn Beck, quote-unquote, debunked the FEMA camps. He did part two today. Have you seen any of this stuff, Michael?
No, I have not. I keep myself fairly busy on the phone promoting this Continental Congress. I don't spend too much time watching the news because they're not going to be telling me the truth anyway. I get most of my information from email where people have done some research and they send me a link, and I'll get my information off the internet.
All right, let's jump to our next caller. Let's go to Russ in California. Russ, you're on the line.
Hey, hi guys. Let me switch to the phone here so I can talk to you.
Yep.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jason. I was a big supporter of Ron Paul, and we all know that Michael ran as a Libertarian candidate in 2004. Did you not, for president?
I did.
You did. Right on. Okay. I've also learned a lot by reading books by Webster Griffin Tarpley. Have you read anything by him? And especially, I just bought Surviving the Cataclysm.
I haven't read anything by him, but I've had people who've absorbed his information and condensed it for me in conversation.
Okay. Well, he talks in the book about, and he's talked several times on Alex's show and other times, that if we were to proceed into a depression, that you can't really offer libertarianism to the guy in the street that's starving. Mm-hmm. And his solution to the problem is dirigism or the American school. Are you familiar with those two economic beliefs?
No.
You're not. Okay, well, check it out. And I think...
Well, here's my deal, because I have sat down with Tarpley on numerous occasions. He was just up here. We had dinner together. You know, Tarpley is one of those guys that doesn't really see a problem with a one-world government as a whole, just the people
that
are in charge of it. No. Well, like, I'm not saying he's pro-New World Order or he's pro-one-world government, but, you know, he's talked to me. I mean, the first time I met him, we sat down and we talked about, you know, a global, what was it, a global minimum wage of $20 for everybody. And I didn't exactly know how that worked. He is, you know, he proposes that we need to use a fiat-type currency system. He doesn't think that we should have a gold or silver-backed currency system. A lot like you just said, it's not going to work for the man in the street. But I believe that those other schools that he promotes really, you know, whether purposely or not, and I don't think they're on purpose. I love Tarpley. I think he's trying to do the right thing. But they promote socialism, and they promote government control. One of his, he's a huge fan of FDR and the original New Deal.
Yeah, I know
so.
He is. I know he is. But he's such a quick wit to the extent that when you ask him a question or get him in a corner, he can get out of it very, very quick with a lot of history because he is the history guy.
He's a genius. Sure. There's no doubt that he is a genius and he has a ton of information in his brain. But at the same time, it doesn't always make him 110% right. We're human beings. We get things wrong. We have opinions that are sometimes hard-headed, my friend.
Okay, but let me ask this bigger question. Okay, to Michael, because he is the constitutionalist. I've seen your stuff on YouTube. You're great, Michael. Continue to do it. I'm not trying to disparage you in any way, shape, or form. But if Ron Paul or a similar candidate got in as president, I've even heard Ron Paul say, well, we just can't go right to libertarianism overnight or right to the Austrian school overnight. We are going to have to put government programs in by somebody that is honest and put people to work. Could you address that?
I tend to disagree. I'm a skydiving instructor, and when you get out of the airplane, you can't get to the ground instantly.
Well, I was a hang gliding instructor. Okay, so I
two minutes to get there. But the free market is the only thing that's going to work. And anytime you allow the government to manipulate the market, it's going to be an abused power. And I disagree with you that the free market is not going to work for the guy on the street. Now, I admit the guy on the street doesn't understand it and isn't going to like it, but that doesn't mean it's not going to work for them. It will work for them.
And not when they're starving and not when they need food steps.
But when that happens, you got to understand that the government has already put in so much social control. I mean, there's more than enough food to feed the world, but we don't feed the world.
Right.
You know. So the bottom line is that's why they're trying to go after organic farmers. They're trying to make it impossible for the common man to feed himself. I thank you for the call, Russ.
Okay, great.
You got it, man. Let's jump to Frank in New Jersey. Frank, you're on the line.
What's up, Bermie?
How you doing, bro?
I just want to say, if there's one good thing that comes out of all of our stress as being InfoWarriors, is that we probably already thwarted an attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, I mean, I would think that if we didn't expose 9/11 for what it was, we might have had a false flag terror attack in this country. Are we going to have another one under this administration? You know, Obama says it's likely. We now have this new Taliban leader out of nowhere saying he's going to attack the White House. I mean, give me a break. If the White House is attacked by quote-unquote terrorists, I will guarantee you that it is an inside job, my friend.
But I wanted to say another thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the flatulence that comes out of these cows that we're going to be taxed for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a half a mushroom expert, and I've been studying fungi for a while.
Mm-hmm.
If the grass wasn't eaten by the cows, it would rot on the ground and evolve as CO2 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing.
Well, so the whole thing is totally fake. Look, man, I thank you for the call, and I agree with your point. Watch the great global warming swindle. They break it down. They show you that a lot of the scientists that are supposedly on board with global warming aren't. They have the co-founder of Greenpeace on there telling you how it's nonsense. You know, I mean, there are, I think they have over a dozen scientists. They lay the case very well. It's free online. It is the best thing I've ever seen the BBC produce ever. And I encourage people to check it. I'm going to have to post it on my MySpace. All right, let's jump to our last caller for this section, William in Alabama. William, you're up.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Man, I'm a big fan. Just wanted to bring up something. I know this is probably going to be controversial when I say it, but I get so tired. And let me say this first off, though. When a police officer dies or someone's shot, anytime another human being is shot or a life is lost,
mm-hmm.
a human life to me is very precious. Everybody's life is very precious.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I'm getting at, the thing that I don't like, you know, you have murders every day, old women hitting the back of the head for their Social Security checks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like when a police officer dies, his life is 10 times more important than anyone else's.
I agree.
I mean, right here in Montgomery, man, I mean, unsolved murders, I'd say over half of them, probably 55-60% are not solved. But any time a police officer shot, they're instantly solved. Everything's stopped. That's the number one thing, you know, that's everybody's on fire. We've got to solve this. But you know, their life is not worth more than anybody else's.
I agree. A point taken, William. Final segment with Michael Bednarik after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com, and don't forget my little blog, TheInfoWarrior.com. Back after this.
And I can't help but wonder, no Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they died? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing and dying, it was all done in vain. Oh, Willie McBride, it all happened again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Did they beat the drums?
You are back. Final segment with Michael Bednarik. And before we go to Michael, I just want to say, you know, he was commenting on the CFR and the Council on Foreign Relations, sending him insider information, although he was being somewhat facetious. I mean, they are open. The document I have in front of me right now is from May 1st, 2008, CFR publication. Let me just read you the title. This is something we went over a little bit last week. It pretty much outlines what just happened at the G20. But the title is International Institutions and Global Governments Program, World Order in the 21st Century, a new initiative of the Council on Foreign Relations. This is their main think tank. This is where they put their actions into place and laugh about it. And I cannot warn people enough about this organization and others like it. Michael, I mean, just describe to people what the CFR does in this final segment.
Well, I mean, they want to get everybody under one world or one world government, not to make the world safer, but to control us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a cattle roundup. You know, you get all of your cows inside this, you know, little tiny corral so that you can manipulate them easier. And, you know, again, we are in an ideological war. It is individualism versus collectivism. You know, socialism and communism basically eliminate the idea of private property. It's not your house, it's our house, and we're going to let you live there until we change our mind. And, you know, if you don't have any property, there's no way for you to exercise or express your rights. And, you know, we need to understand that and fight against it. You know, there is no moderate in between. You can't negotiate with terrorists, and you cannot have a little bit of the Constitution and a little bit of communism. If you got soup in one bowl and poison in another, you're not going to get twice as much soup by mixing them together.
No, you're going to die. I mean,
you're going to die.
Yeah. People just don't understand it. In the last 2 minutes, why don't you give out the websites and tell people how they can get involved?
Well, my website is constitutionpreservation.org. I have a book. The foreword was written by Ron Paul. I'm very proud of that. It's called Good to Be King. There's also a series of discs, DVDs, that you can watch 12-hour version of my class. And I'm also teaching my class, you know, in person. I just got back from Pensacola, Florida and Atlanta. My next class is going to be in Philadelphia on Sunday, April 26th, after the end the Fed rally there on Saturday.
Awesome. So people can go there. I'll actually be in New York on April 26th if I don't fly out. Maybe I'll come down there. It's not that far away, and I really do love Philadelphia. It's a great town, Liberty Bell and all. You know, people have to step up. For me, as soon as you start to understand this information, I feel like you have an obligation to reach out to your friends, your family members, your coworkers, and even people on the street, or how are we going to combat this? I feel like the last time we had a true civil rights movement in this country, it was Martin Luther King Jr., and this is a true civil rights movement, is it not?
It is. Individual rights are the only thing
people in China have a right to life. They just don't have a government willing to protect it.
That is 110% correct. Thank you so much for joining us, Michael. We'll be back after this, taking your calls and going over that HIV contamination story at the VA. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. Folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Now, we covered the first part of this story last week, that 16 veterans have tested positive for hepatitis B and hepatitis C at two VA facilities. Of the 17 positive test results, 11 were from Tennessee and 6 were from Augusta, Georgia. Now they're admitting it's probably thousands, and they've exposed over 10,000 to this virus. Do you think they care about the soldiers when they're giving them Hep C? I mean, that is a painful, painful death. I promise you, you shrivel up, your liver goes. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And they're giving this to our supposed heroes. You think they care about you? See how they treat the people that fight for this country. All right, and I guarantee, even with all this information, they are going to screw those people over till about 70, 80, maybe 90% of them are dead, and they can't get compensation. Mark my words. That's how this government, these tyrannical bastards roll. And that's just reality. I'm sorry that reality doesn't fit into Glenn Beck's suit and tie world with Jimmy Meggs and Lindsay Lohan and Entertainment Weekly. I'm sorry that reality is harsh sometimes. I'm not happy that this is a headline at a CNN.com. I didn't write the story. All right, we're going to continue to take your calls. We're going to play Dobbs in the next segment admitting that, you know, corrupt individuals in the U.S. are running the drugs. Oh, really? Something we talk about all the time here. All right, let's go to, we are on Mark in Oregon. Mark, you're on the line.
Good evening, Jason. How you doing?
All right.
Excuse me. Jason, you know, when it comes to getting down to brass tacks, I've had a question I, in general, wanted to ask for you and or Alex, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following Alex very closely, you know, for at least a couple of years. I mean, he's my main source of information because he covers it in such detail as it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it's the only way to follow things. They're moving so fast these days that you get behind if you just drop off a little bit. And it's all about surviving in various ways, personally, mm-hmm. and however we can help our friends and neighbors and whoever that is helpable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make the assumption, you know, this is hypothetical, but it's something we'd all like to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that Alex has openly stated that he works for, and it's very obvious he works very diligently at this strategy. This was his main strategy, from what I can tell, as far as projecting the info war into the minds of as many people as possible, the facts of the info war, what the facts that document the conspiracy that's out to destroy us all, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's assume that this knowledge gets to imagine a situation where this knowledge has gotten to most of the people in the world.
Okay.
And they understand the story, at least basically, of reality. And that mm-hmm. is that we have a relative few and their helpers, which may amount, I understand, to 5,000 people total.
Mm-hmm.
Out of more than 6.5 billion people on the planet, these 5,000 are controlling all of us in a very detrimental way to our future survival. They're eugenics freaks. You know how it goes with them. They're Luciferian.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is if we get to this point, where information is disseminated in a very general way, with full knowledge of the conspiracy to destroy us all,
mm-hmm.
what condition does that bring about, which provides a solution to stopping them in their steps from doing this to us?
All right, well, I'll answer that on the other side. It's the InfoWarrior. We'll be back after this. After we educate all these people, what is the possible scenario after that? Well, first of all, once we educate people, it makes it a lot harder for this quote-unquote 5,000, 3,000, 10,000, whatever you believe are the upper echelons of the elite. I don't even know if it even goes that high. I'd say there's probably, you know, maybe 1,000 people out there that are really involved in pulling the strings. Does that mean there isn't, you know, royalty or billionaires or millionaires out there that are pulling some of the strings? Yeah, absolutely. But are they in the know of the whole plan? I don't think so. And I think that one of the positive things about spreading this out is there'll be a revolt within the elite itself or the semi-elite. And then on top of that, it's going to be a lot harder to get a soldier to pull the trigger or press a button for a nuclear weapon strike if they know that the guy that they're doing it for is going to kill them later or enslave their family. It's very hard to get people to do that. Now, are we going to be able to eradicate evil altogether? No, I'm sorry. Evil exists. Good exists. It's a duality. And, you know, anyone who gives you this false sense that somewhere in the future we're going to be able to peacefully turn the elite into giving us all this technology and we're going to live in a happy wonderland, I think that's a false prophecy. I do not see that happening. History speaks for itself. People who gravitate towards power also gravitate towards using strongman tactics, strong-arming, iron fist, iron rule, dictatorial powers, and we are constantly going to have to combat that because as people ascend to power, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So at the best, I think what we need to do is we need to have a restoration of the Constitution and Bill of Rights in this country, and I think that we need to help other, you know, people in other nations become free. You know, there's no reason that we should be carrying out a eugenics operation in Africa, giving people AIDS. Okay, there's no reason that those people shouldn't be fed. The resources in that country are unbelievable. So, you know, we just got to keep combating evil. And I guess that's my answer to that question. All right, let's jump to our next caller. I believe it is Rob in New Jersey. Is Rob still there?
Hey, what's up, Jason?
How you doing, friend?
Good, buddy. Listen, I sent you a mail yesterday on your MySpace regarding the music festivals and the hovering high-definition cameras. I don't know if you read it or not.
Now, well, was that about the – because we had a caller in yesterday about the dragonfly. Yeah, the helicopters, and someone said that it was on stage with Tom Petty, and then I had a couple other callers say –
That was me.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Tom Petty thing.
Did you listen to later? Did you listen to a later caller? Someone actually bought one of those things, one of the lower end models used on eBay for under $500, and he says he plays with it all the time.
Yeah, yeah. But this thing was way advanced. I'm talking like, you know, they had two Mac trailers, they had, you know, remote control set up with big flat screen TVs. I thought it was pretty amazing, and I was like wondering, hey man, that'd be kind of a cool job to do. But then, you know, later on, you know, I've known about this whole thing for years. I'm only 32, but you know, but my big thing is like, you know, I'm in New Jersey. Martial law comes into effect, dude. I'm stuck here. They shut down every single bridge. We're an island.
Yeah,
know?
No, you're screwed. You're in Jersey City?
I'm in South Jersey, right outside of Atlantic City.
Okay,
But my biggest thing is like, what can we do, dude? Like, what is there anything that we could do?
Here's an example. You can't let them build the infrastructure where you're screwed. Like you just said, in Jersey and New York and Long Island especially, like you said, you're on an island. You need access to a bridge to get out of there, and you know those bridges are going to be completely full, or they'll do what they did in...
Shut them down.
Yeah, in New Orleans, and shut them down. They literally had FEMA and the cops telling people they couldn't bring aid in, and then they couldn't leave. okay?
I mean, I wouldn't be able to swim across the Delaware River.
And that was my next point. But you might be able to take a ferry or a boat. So you have to take actions when they try to put in a submarine or they try to put in a naval base in those places to not allow you to do that. We have to be proactive and just keep telling people. And quite frankly, man, I would move. I mean, I always, every time I go into New York City. I'm not a big fan of California either, but I'll tell you right now.
In the Redwoods.
Yeah, you can feel a little trapped when you are in the grid in New York City. And like you said, you know, there's no way out other than the George Washington Bridge or the Lincoln Tunnel. And I mean, we're talking, well, what's the population in Manhattan right now? It's over 8 million, isn't it?
I don't even know.
It is a ludicrous amount. Yeah, but still, I mean, you know, it's a pretty, even though it's kind of suburban, it's still pretty urban compared to the rest of the country, you know what I mean? And people just don't understand. So I would say, you know, a lot of those people in the compact cities, that's where they want to herd most people to. I hope to God they don't have plans of, you know, mass exterminations in those type of cities or mass quarantines in those type of cities. But
I mean, like I was saying, like if New Jersey alone, you know, it's being that it's island. We're already trapped at our own demise, so there's no need for a camp here. You know,
no, well, that's you know what? If you watched Alex Jones's Road to Tyranny, during the end, he really goes into the cashless society control grid and moving people into these compact cities. And obviously, New York is the most compact city, and Jersey ain't that far off, my friend. I thank you for the call.
Sure.
You got it, brother.
Right.
Later on. Let's go to Steven in Texas. Steven, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, good evening, Jason. I had a very interesting day today, but before I share with you, I got to talk to a neighbor. I actually gave him a copy of my copy of the Obama Deception, and I wanted to give you his response.
Mm-hmm.
But before I tell you about that, I just want to say, you know, last night on a whim, I went on Glenn Beck's site and to hold my nose as I was looking it over. You know, his picture alone's enough to make you throw up. But, you know, the thing is, I caught something, and I've heard a show before, and I wanted to ask you, do you know what the theme of his show is when he first comes on the air?
No, I don't know his theme music.
Okay. It says, you are listening to the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. Now, think about this, and you tell me if I'm on the right track, and I don't believe I'm taking things out of context here. You know, Alex last night was saying on your show that it's obvious Glenn Beck is a Pentagon operative. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fusion. What is MIAC?
No, it's a fusion center. In fact, these fusion centers. Yes.
Which is a place that gathers information to turn into Department of Homeland Security to track us all as terrorists because we're the enemies, according to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Entertainment. Other than the food and the drugs, what's the main way that they're dumbing down society? Isn't it through the entertainment industry?
It obviously is. And, you know, when Rogan was on the program with Alex Jones, you know, he made the point that, you know, Glenn Beck is out doing one-man shows and that he was a DJ before this. And it seems like this guy is trying to be an entertainer and not a newsman.
Okay. And then also enlightenment. Well, you've got this group at the top, the Illuminati, the enlightened ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying I think his theme, the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment, this is another deal where they're putting it right out there in your face, but because people aren't on to what's going on, they're totally missing it. So I'm saying I think that's a confirmation of what Alex says. This guy is definitely an operative.
You may be correct, Stephen. I mean, I can't say it, but I can say I don't like his work. He seems very disingenuous. He doesn't look like he did any real legwork on this FEMA program, and Jimmy Meggs is the scum of all scum, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, that guy just sounds, he sounds like a queer. But I would ask you to, you know, put that forth, what I just said to Alex, and have him research that. You know, he's done stuff on occult symbols that these people have in the architecture and all that kind of stuff. You know, and just see what he comes up with. But the other thing I wanted to share is I was talking with a neighbor of mine here where I live in this apartment complex, and just got to talk to him about things. And he's a black guy, you know, young guy I've talked to before, kind of become friends with. And anyway, I was talking to him, and I asked him, you know, if he voted in the election. He says, well, no. I said, well, if he had, who did you have voted for? And he said, well, the guy that's in office now. I said, why? And so we got to talking, and I went into a bunch of details, and I talked a lot about the stuff I saw through, you know, Loose Change that you put out. And he's thinking about it, and he goes, you know, you're right, that don't make sense. So I lent him the Obama deception, and I just went down and talked to him. I missed about an hour of your show because of this, but it was well worth it because he said, man, I got to watch that again. And he said, my mother, my aunt, he said, they're all into Obama. They got stuff all over their, you know, house. It's all Obama.
And probably bought the plates and the coins.
Yeah, where can I get that? So I told him, you know, to go to the site and order it. So, you know, I mean, and I said, do you know a lot of people that are Obama supporters? He says, yeah, I know a ton of people. So, you know, here you go. You know, just one person, just like KRS says, you know, are you the one? Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, one person can make a difference. And I think that's one of the main things we're up against, because people, when you talk about this stuff and it clicks with them that this is reality, they're like, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. But as more people get past that and stop thinking I'm just one person, you know, eventually you're going to have a mass of people banding together against this thing, and that's what it's going to take.
That is what it's going to take. And as soon as people realize that they do have great individual power, and that throughout history, individuals have made differences, and it is only because of the psychological warfare that has taken place against the American populace, and really the world populace, is the only reason that we think different. I thank you for the call, Stephen. Let's jump to Dennis in New York. Dennis, you are on the air.
Hey, yes, Dennis. Jason, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, thanks for having me on the air. I'm new to InfoWars. I'm new to your show. I'm really enjoying it. I'm getting a lot out of it. I just listened to Steve in Texas, and I just wanted to say, I think you guys and Beck, I don't see a tremendous amount of difference. I mean, I like your show. Like I said, I'm brand new to it, only maybe a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And Beck, I've been listening to him 2 years, you know, when he was on CNN.
Listen, I want you to hold over because we're going to talk some big-time Glenn Beck on the other side. I don't know if you heard the first hour on my show where I really picked apart his debunking of the FEMA camps and gave Beck the grand stage, but if you missed it, it'll be on YouTube tomorrow. The first part with me and Alex is already on YouTube. We'll be back with Dennis, Ryan, and more. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, 866-582-9933. To Dennis in New York, someone who's new to a lot of this information, and he wants to know what the difference is, you know, between Beck and us. How long have you been listening to Glenn?
Over 2 years.
Over 2 years. All right, good. All right, so then
every show.
All right, so then let's go back to the Georgia situation. You said you're new to this, right? You're new to InfoWars and all this information, right?
Brand new to InfoWars, Alex Jones. I'm enjoying it, but I'm brand new to it.
All right, so let me give you an example of how deceptive this guy is. Remember the Georgia situation?
Yes.
Okay, now conventional wisdom would have us believe that the evil Russians went in there and they attacked those Georgians, and all that guy was trying to do was save his people, right? That's how Glenn Beck spun it, right? Now,
when he had the Georgian president on.
That is I am so, you know what? We're going to pull that clip up for the next segment. So when I get you off the line, make sure you watch this. But let me explain how it works. First of all, Georgia snuck attack Russia. And now how did this happen? Well, first of all, Georgia had special forces from Israel and the United States in their country at the time, all right? And what they were doing is that they were running drills. Now, if you're new to this stuff, drills are usually used as a cover for military and false flag actions, period, amen. I mean, that's how they confuse people. That's how they get people to go along with it. They don't tell them that they're going to be, you know, killing civilians. They set them up in a war game, all right? So they set up this war game on the border of Russia. Now, Russia and where Georgia is, NATO already almost encompasses all of Russia, okay? That makes Russia uncomfortable. Then what happens is the Israelis go over with Georgian special forces and Blackwater. I mean, they found dead Blackwater bodies there. they go in and they start killing people. And Russia responds. And almost everybody in the mainstream media says, Georgia got snuck attacked by Russia. Russia is the enemy. The only mainline guy that I can tell you that actually told the truth about this is Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan said, no. You know, Georgia is at fault here. Now, Georgia's been trying to get in to NATO for a long time. You know, they're not a member of NATO. I'm not sure if they were made a member after that, but they've been trying for a long time. And they had the third largest amount of troops in Iraq after the United States and the United Kingdom. Okay, so they're definitely an ally of ours on paper. Now, Glenn Beck has him on, and Saakashvili, the Georgian president, openly starts talking about how this is about a new world order and that the Russians are against it. And Glenn Beck doesn't call him on it. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yes. Now, if this guy is so anti-new world order, if this guy is so genuine about exposing the Federal Reserve banking system, why did it take him so long to do so? We've been talking about the Federal Reserve banking system for over a decade. Why is it taking him so long to come out as anti-New World Order? But then he doesn't he lavished Saakashvili, and even when he used that terminology, he wasn't challenged on it. On top of that, if you saw this FEMA camp debunking, it is utterly disgusting. Okay, he doesn't want to go over.
That's when I started watching you guys. You guys, that's when I started really, really listening to InfoWars.
Well, let me tell you something, man. The civilian inmate labor program, you can type that into Google right now, and you can get the document declassified in 2005, and you can read the horrors of that document. And when I say horrors, I mean horrors. I mean roundups, forced work, death camps. That's what that thing is. And that's not the only document. There are a couple other ones out there. Now, they go out, and they show you two examples of quote-unquote FEMA camps. One, that is a train repair station, and Alex, you know, was the first one to say, you know, they're going to show you a train repair station. We had it on air before it happened. That's what they did. And then they use a fake satellite photograph that somebody posted. InfoWars didn't post it. PrisonPlanet.tv never did a story on it. That was marked Homeland Security. In actuality, it was a North Korean concentration camp. And then Meggs goes on to say, yeah, he goes on to say that, well, we didn't go to all 600 facilities. No, what they did is they called up the one facility that they knew, was a train repair station, and they sent a film crew over there. They did no investigative journalism. And he is constantly out there to demonize us. In fact, when he went over the MIAC report, you know, he mentioned the New World Order a couple times on his show as something that was quote-unquote negative, but he didn't come to our aid when in the MIAC report it said, if you believe in the New World Order in a derogatory manner, you're a nut. No, he said, you're a nut. So, man, I am just letting you know, there's another thing out there that you need to know about the financial system. There is you ever heard of a CAFR, C-A-F-R, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports?
No.
All right, this is another thing he will never tell you about. There are two sets of books literally everywhere, okay? And the real books are the CAFRs. The budget is bull. And, for example, New York City in 99 alone, although they said they had a loss, they had $7.7 trillion in the CAFR. Look up comprehensive annual financial reports. Check out the FEMA debunking. I'm sure you're not going to be pleased with what you hear and read. I thank you for listening, Dennis. Keep up on it. Check out Road to Tyranny, man. 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, Alex Jones. It may not be perfect, but it's pretty damn good. We'll be back with Ryan and others on the other side. It's the info.
Save the victory speeches for later. Streets on fire.
We're going to continue to take your calls, but first I want to play this Saakashvili New World Order clip on Glenn Beck. He didn't call him out on it. If he's so anti-New World Order, why? I think this was over the summer. Why over the summer didn't he call him out on his Johnny nonsense? And then we're going to play the Dobbs, oh yeah, the U.S. government's probably corrupt and running the drugs too clip. All right, hit it with Saakashvili.
But the point here is, it's not about me, it's about the idea of freedom. It's about the future of the whole region. It's about the future of Europe and a New World Order. And what I think is that no matter what Russians do.
All right, hit it.
I told them.
I mean, it's right there. And he's like, Mr. Saakashvili, I just salute you with his phony, almost tears. You're a true patriot, sir. You're there for your people. Glenn Beck, please. And that's why he's so dangerous, because he's bringing people like Dennis in who are well-meaning people that are just getting awakened. They're semi-awake right now. And that's why he's co-opting the movement with these tea parties. Again, this is something that was started by the 9/11 Truth Movement and the anti-IRS movement, not by Glenn Beck. I've been to these tea parties. He has several of them. And now he's going to hijack that idea, too, and act like he's the patriot? He's no patriot, my friends. All right, let's go to the Dobsonator, the one true newsman left on any network, in my opinion, talking about the drug running.
And at the Mexican border tonight, strong words from President Felipe Calderón of Mexico in response to mounting violence in his country and the war on the drug cartels. President Calderón met with Attorney General Eric Holder and Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano to talk about actions against illegal aliens, guns, and drugs. President Calderón made his position on drug trafficking crystal clear. He said that the United States is just as guilty of corruption as Mexico.
It is impossible to pass tons of drugs or cocaine to U.S. without some grade of complicity of some American authorities. There is traffic in Mexico because there is corruption in Mexico, and that is true. But with the same argument, if there is traffic in the United States, it is because there is some corruption in the United States.
I don't often agree with President Calderón on any issue. This time I have to. There is no other explanation. It goes well beyond indifference and apathy to the fact that this country has tolerated that border being violated by drug traffickers who bring in from Mexico methamphetamines, heroin, cocaine, and marijuana. In fact, Mexico is the largest source. And for us as a nation to have tolerated the immense loss of life, the devastation of lives to addiction of drugs, most of which, again, originated in Mexico, can only be explained by corruption.
We salute you, Senior Dobbs. Thank you for telling the truth. I hope you do a more extensive piece on United States drug running following the Iran-Contra scandal into today. I hope, you know what, people need to call into his radio show. I know Steven is very active, and talk about American drug war. Send him American drug war, all right? You know, he needs to see that. And he needs to come out a little bit bigger. But guys, He's the one guy that's anti-New World Order. He's the one guy exposing corruption in this country. All right, let's continue to take your calls. Ryan in Kentucky, you are on the air, my friend.
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to call to kind of get the word out about Rand Paul. I don't know if you knew he's running possibly for Senate in 2012.
Which one's this? Is this his brother or someone else? Or
It's his son.
Oh, his son is running. Okay.
Possibly. If Senator Jim Bunning from Kentucky does not run, he's going to run in his place.
Well, how can people support him?
One way, you can go to rand2010.com. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a Facebook page, Rand Paul for Senate 2010, and he is going to be attending the Bowling Green Kentucky Tea Party on the 15th, which is going to be in Fountain Square Park starting at 5 p.m. I just think it'd be phenomenal if we could get him in as a senator.
I agree. You know, I mean, if he's got ideals like his father, and obviously his father is a great man and raised his son, we need him in the Senate. I mean, that is ultra important. I mean, a senator's spot, people don't understand how important that is. There's 100 senators in the United States. This isn't a state Senate spot we're talking about. This isn't a congressional spot. This is a spot that can make a true difference. So it's RandPaul2010.com.
Right, that's the PX site. I think right now they're working on it. There's some construction going on, so it might not be immediately available. But check that out. I heard him speak tonight at the Western Kentucky University's College Republican Club, and he's pretty much in line with his father. So it'd be just great to have another, basically almost Ron Paul in there.
Yeah, good to know. And we'll try to have him on as a guest, my friend. I thank you for the call. All right, let's go to the other Ryan in New York. Ryan, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
Hey, my question is, of all people to debunk the FEMA camps, why would they pick James Miggs of Popular Mechanics?
Because he's a corporate shill that obviously only has the government's bidding on his mind?
That's what I was thinking. And did you hear Beck's comment saying how no one believes these crazy conspiracy theories because debunking 9/11 was so amazing?
Yeah, no, I played, I don't know if you listened to the first hour of the show, but we played the second part.
And
we played the second part Get the podcast tomorrow. We played the entire second part that he played today on his show with James Meigs, which was another, you know, love fest where it looked like they might make out, folks. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything else, but they were getting a little close there. And there was a lot of jokes thrown around about such a serious subject matter, and I ripped it apart for 40 minutes. And it was, I think I remained pretty reserved. I mean, today, their debunking consisted of showing a satellite photograph of a North Korean concentration camp, and that I predicted yesterday, and then putting a Homeland Security sticker on it and saying it was from Wyoming. You know, prominent sites like ours have never posted that those were real and that those were the FEMA camps. We never linked to that video that he showed yesterday. You know, we never said that some of these facilities weren't used to train the National Guard. We never did that. We brought up the real documents, the real articles, and the real evidence that these FEMA camps do exist, and they didn't touch it.
He did such an amazing job with 9/11. Why not hire him for the FEMA camps too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? They did such an amazing job that the first time I stepped up to the plate and debated Jimmy Meigs and David Dunbar of that crappy book and publication, I ate them alive, and I was supposed to be on Glenn Beck later in the afternoon to debate them yet again, but Glenn Beck pulled the plug on me. He said, you know what? No dice, guy. You were too good.
That was Amy Goodman, right?
Yeah. That day, it was on the 5th anniversary of 9/11. I did that Amy Goodman Democracy Now! Show. I did a bunch of shows later in the day, but I was also scheduled to be on Glenn Beck in studio. Guess what? No dice. No, we'll just let Jimmy Meigs talk alone. We wouldn't want him to be challenged on his positions.
No way.
Ryan, I thank you for the call, man. We're going to jump to our next caller. Let's go to Chris in Utah. Chris, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, on the subject of Glenn Beck, I've really been wanting to call in about this because living here in Utah, I can tell you from firsthand experience. I mean, personally, I've listened to Glenn Beck since he came on the radio here like 4 or 5 years ago. My whole family listens to him every day. It's just, I mean, a lot of these Glenn Beck fans here are no better than the Obama zombies.
No, I agree.
And I used to listen. I mean, I still do. I need to keep on tabs on what he's saying because, man, over the past few years, I just tell. Like, he'll go from, you know, whatever he's talking about in his radio show, and he'll go, you know, without any pause, go into advertising for a sponsor, and I can't hear the difference. You know, it's like he's trying to sell us, you know, something. No, all throughout his whole show.
He's completely disingenuous, sir. There's no doubt about it. Those are fake tears. Go ahead.
Let me bring up a subject I know a lot of people might not want to touch upon, but I feel like I have a place to. I was, you know, being from Utah, I was raised Mormon in an LDS mm-hmm. family. And the reason Glenn Beck is so popular here is because he is a convert to the LDS church. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something really big. I mean, I personally, if your listeners don't really know, by the time a young man turns 19 in the church, they prompt you to go serve a mission for mm-hmm. 2 years. You know,
and this is the Church of Latter-day Saints. LDS is what you were talking about. Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Church. Go ahead.
Yes. And it came time in my life, you know, I grew up in the church, and I got to that point, and I decided, you know, I really don't know what I'm going to be doing, you know, 2 years going out talking to people about a church that I haven't really researched thoroughly. And mm-hmm. so I sat down, and I researched a lot about the church history, and there are so many, like, Masonic ties to the church, and I know there's a lot of anti-Mormons out there. They go into this. They show up here at Salt Lake City every general conference, just like this past weekend, and they're out there bashing the Mormons. But it's sad because a lot of good people who are part of this church really don't know the true history of that church. Mm-hmm. And I think it's big, especially with like Mitt Romney coming into, you know, the huge political view. I feel there's something up. I really feel like this church is turning, you know, has become one of those New World Order religions where they're really trying to, you know.
Well, I feel like, dude, they've co-opted the majority of the big religions. You know, whether you're into Christianity, Catholicism, Mormonism, you know, some of the best people I know are Mormons. For instance, you know, Stephen Jones, the BYU professor that put out that article, he's a Mormon. You know, I try not to come down on people with their religious beliefs. If there's anything that they're going to be even more super jaded about and cynical about and really just ignoring anything you have to say about it. It's their religion. You know, it's tough enough to get them to look at the mainstream documents that there are FEMA camps. It's tough enough to get them to sit down and watch the videos I've produced about 9/11. I'm not going to sit there and try to say, you're wrong about this. How do I know? You know, I'm not God.
No, and I think that's, the reason I bring this up really is because, yeah, growing up in the church, you're accustomed to be told what to believe, and you know, they go into this whole thing like, oh, you should pray about it and that, but people don't really do the real research. So, you know, they kind of just are used to having things hand fed to them, and with that climate or that culture here in Utah, Glenn Beck is really dangerous, especially because of his religious affiliations. I mean, there's an LDS church on every corner here in Utah. Most people in my neighborhood are, you know, Mormons. And they, you know, when a big, you know, famous, you know, guy...
A big personality on the TV or radio is a Mormon, they're more likely to follow. Yeah,
and it's scaring me. Like, I'm really trying to wake people up to, you know everything... I've been following InfoWars since Ron Johnson wrote that book and followed Alex Jones around. And,
that's not his name. Is John Ronson actually?
Yes,
John Ronson, and he wrote the book "Adventures with Extremists." He did the. I'm not sure if that's the title of the book. That was the title of the TV series, and then later he did "The Men Who Stare at Goats," and his TV series for that one is called "Crazy Rulers of the World." I don't agree with a lot of what Ronson says. I do enjoy his stuff. I think he's a little snarky. I think he's a little pompous, and obviously, you know, he pokes a little bit of fun at it, but at the same time, there's that great CNN International clip where he admits, yeah, they do want a New World Order, and yes, the Bilderberg Group is real. I thank you for the call, Chris. No problem. Let's jump to Robert in California. Robert, you're on the line.
Hey, good evening, my friend.
Good evening.
Hey, I really enjoy your show. I've been watching InfoWars for a while on the web, and I wanted to share something with you guys. I kind of give you a little bit about my background. I really listened to a lot of William Cooper in the past, and he's just like you guys with Illuminati and some of these things. But I wanted to tell you guys, they are really coming out, just like Gordon Brown, you know, speaking at the G20 and, you know, using the word New World Order.
Sure.
So, you know, they're just in our face about it. But there's a movie that you ought to, there's a website. I sent something in to InfoWars, and I don't know if they received it or not, email. Mm-hmm. But... there's a movie called Angels and Demons, and you can go to angelsanddemons.com. It's a part two of the Da Vinci Code.
Well, actually, it's a prequel to the Da Vinci Code. For people that don't know, I've actually read the Da Vinci Code and read parts of Angels and Demons, and it focuses on the Illuminati. And it is a prequel. It's going to have Tom Hanks in it, and it's all about this other adventure. And really, although they reveal the Illuminati, they downplay, you know, what they do, and they make it kind of cartoonish, almost like cartoon evil. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. They put it out as they were, you know, like the church were the crazies because they believed in a God, and that these nice guys from the Illuminati, you know, were scientists, and, you know, they were, you know, taken out by the Catholic Church, which we know is partly true in history with the Knights Templars, were taken out by part of the Catholic Church because of the evil, you know, doings of the Knight Templars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've studied these guys, and you know, Freemasonry just runs hand in hand with you know, inside the Mormon Church, within, you know, my great grandfather was a Mormon, or excuse me, was a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I never got into that, thank God, and my father was never involved in that. But as a Christian, my faith, I would tell Christians not to be involved with Freemasonry. It's not, you know, it's the God Osiris. And
You know what? I got to stop you right now, Robert, just because I have this Mason website that I did want to bring up, and I just keep forgetting about it. Can you bring up that Masonic chip website? I sent it over in the thing. It should be right above that one article. And, you know, most Masons are good guys. You know, they get involved with this not knowing that it's more than a social club. And this Masonic chip program is unbelievable. It is a private organization, the Masons, trying to globally fingerprint all children, take their DNA, even take their dental records. They want dental impressions from these kids. And it's Masonic Chip International. And ultimately, they also want to chip the kids. And a lot of these people in these organizations think they're doing the right thing. They say, yo, you know, with all this information and all this documentation, if your kid goes missing, we're going to be able to find them for you. It's all bull. It's all to get your information. It's all for a database system. And they use well-meaning people for an evil program. All right, let's go to the Angry Scotsman in Indiana. You're on the air, sir. We got the Angry Scotsman going once, going twice. You there?
No, you have Linda.
I've got Linda. The Angry Scotsman must have dropped.
Hi.
Linda, what's on your mind?
Well, I don't know. No, I'm the mentally deranged terrorist.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing, Jason?
I'm all right.
Real quick, I know we're running short on time. You know, as a born again believer, I know that you've expressed your faith before. You know, I'll have to say this to you and to believers, and that the one time that Jesus pulled out the whip in the Bible was where? In the temple. Against who? The money changers. He is the head. We are the body of Christ. And he said that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're in a war, and we are going to win this war, but we do have to do it the right way and to stick the infighting.
I agree. We have to get rid of the infighting, Linda. It is very destructive. We'll be back after this with the final segment of the Info Warrior, PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com.
There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders slaying test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get stitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the meteors these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
We are the insurgents.
And we are at the end of the program. It's the final segment with the Info Warrior. What did we learn today? Well, we went over the second part of The Debunking by Glenn Beck and Jimmy Meggs. We talked to Michael Bednarik, the former Libertarian candidate for president in 2004. We talked about the carbon tax. And we hit your phone calls, folks. And with that, we're going to take one last phone call. Angry Scotsman, you are on the air.
Yes, thank you, Jason. Actually, I'm in Iowa, but... Mm-hmm. I want to go ahead, thank first of all you and the rest of the Loose Change crew for helping to wake me up some 3 years ago. I getting ready with We Are Change Iowa to hopefully wake some people up over at the state capitol for the Tea Party. But there's something else that I wanted to bring up. I have a little bit of insider information in regards to the United States Postal Service.
Okay.
And that is, they are going to a new system, barcoding system, that will actually... include not only the recipient but also the sender, and all this information will be cached in a database.
Oh.
Now, the United States Postal Service is in dire straits right now. They were basically told go to hell by the Congress,
mm-hmm.
and we're going the way of GM. I have a feeling that we're probably going to be completely federalized in the future, and who knows what they're going to do with that new database technology that we're going to be rolling out soon.
Absolutely. If we weren't tracked and traced and databased enough, now everything we send through the mail will also be recorded. I mean, is there any doubt they're setting up a police state? Is there any doubt this is a control grid? Is there any doubt that they want to chip all of us? When I show you MasaniChip.org, I mean, give me a break. And I totally see that. They'll also say it's because of the tough economic times that they need to refederalize it. I can totally see that, sir.
Yes, definitely. As of right now, basically, we're being told that September, it's all over. Post office shut down. So,
well, you know what? I will share that with Mr. Jones tomorrow. That would be a tragic turn for the worse, but a very possible one. I thank you for the call. Remember, folks, the podcast is on the lower left-hand side. We got to get a better spot for that on the InfoWarrior.com. You can get the podcast daily. If you miss the podcast, we also have a little flash player where you can play my past shows. I'm also all over the YouTube with the kids. The Info Warrior channel and others are posting my stuff, and I really want to thank those good people for making my life a little bit easier. I mean, there's so much going on in this office. I can't even tell you. You know, during the day, I'm sitting there, I'm going through the news, I'm grabbing articles, I'm trying to coordinate with my two board ops, who are also Alex's board ops, saying, hey, we got this, you got to play this. Alex is like, why isn't playing? What, we don't play videos anymore? Okay, so it's over. There's no more radio show. Well, you know what? I mean, we are at a high level of operation. We are the only alternative news source out there that does 7 hours of radio, 5 hours of television daily, that put out, I think we do well over a dozen articles ourselves a day, well over a dozen between, you know, Aaron Dykes, Kurt Nemo, Paul Joseph Watson, Steve Watson, and other contributors, over a dozen a day. We tell you the real news. We're not here to sugarcoat it. We're not here to bow down to Beck, all right? We're here to take charge, to take action, to let you know what's really going on. Because again, if you're not free, then I'm not free. And if you're enslaved, guess what? I'm probably shot in the head. I don't even got the choice for a slave camp. I'm just boom in the back of the head. See you later. We will be back tomorrow night, 9 to midnight Central Time. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Thank you all, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.